He's such a brave lad.
Launch the True Stream. Alright, welcome back to True Stream Oasis. I'm your host, Amos Ridley, and I think it's pretty cool that I get to hang out with you guys again today. I really do appreciate the opportunity, and I don't really have anything planned today. I was just sitting here, and you know, I said to myself, why don't I just do another podcast, and I can just hang out with you guys. We'll just call it a ramble-thon or something. I did want to talk to you guys about the purpose of this podcast. The last few days, I've been doing a stuff about conspiracy, 9/11, talked about that and how I believe that is prophesied in the Bible. Talked about, you know, that God does mention that he is highly aware that his people are conspiring against him, and that when we talk about conspiracy, we're talking about what God talks about, because he says it right in the scripture. He says there's a conspiracy among the princes of Judah. He says they conspire against the Lord. And so, you know, this stuff is going on. It's a pain in the rear end, because, you know, you got all these people saying, oh, there's no conspiracy, it's conspiracy theory, it's conspiracy theory. No, it's not. You know, there is enough information out there to prove this stuff. And if at the very least, in the end, you could say, you know, maybe they'll come out and say, oh, well, this wasn't true. Well, then, if we're looking at the information, how can we not come to that? How can we be blamed for coming to that conclusion with all this information out there? You know, at the very least. But, you know, we just have to be serious, you know. I mean, I've never been to New York. You know, I only see pictures that the towers are knocked down. I see news stories. I don't even know if there is an Iraq. I mean, if you want to get dead serious, I mean, I know it's stupid, but, you know, it's like, if people want to get down to the nitty gritty, you have to trust information. You've got to trust somewhere along the line. You know, because, like, if you just want to get down to the bare bones, well, I'm not going to believe anything unless I see it with my eyes, then, you know, I don't know if the Twin Towers ever got knocked down, because I didn't see it with my eyes. The last time I was there, they were still standing. I've never seen the country of Iraq, so how do I even know that this isn't all just a made-up war on television? You know? And like I said, I know that sounds silly, but I'm just trying to, you know, trying to make a point here, is that, you know, we have to trust information that's out there. We have to at some point. You know, but with, personally, I think with 9/11, you know, we can at least say that the official story is bogus. But I personally believe that, you know, all this conspiracy coming out and everything is all planned. You know, there are people out there who are in the occult, and there are people in our government that are doing crazy things. You know, we all, you know, most of us saw the video where Alex Jones got into the Bohemian Grove and filmed it. Now, if that was all set up, that's not our fault. What are we supposed to think? You know, we see it filmed. You know, so there are people doing crazy stuff, and they're letting this stuff get out. It kind of reminds me of a movie, you know, when you watch the movie and at the end the bad guy is like, you know, he's got the person trapped and he's got the gun on them, and right before he kills them, he's just got to let them know how brilliant his plan was, you know, because it wouldn't be worth it to just take the person out and then they'll never know how they got trapped. So, you know, in all the old movies, they would be like, you know, explaining their whole plan to them, you know, before they shot them. Well, that's what I feel like this beast system is doing. I feel like it's time for the beast to reveal itself, to come out of hiding, to come up out of the abyss, or whatever language you want to use, And it's time for the world system to reveal itself, to reveal that they've been, that this has been building and they've had people in slavery for a long time. They just didn't realize it, you know? And so that's what I think is going on here. Why else would all this stuff just be flooding out? You know, if they are so all-powerful, like some people believe they are, or that they want us to think they are, then they'd obviously have to have the control of letting this stuff out as well. You know? Maybe they're not that powerful. You know, it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder if it's all just information war, if it's just psyops, you know? They don't really have all this technology that we hear about. And, you know, they're just letting us think they have it, because that creates the same effect. You know, everybody gets scared. So that's something I've thought about too. Do they actually have all these Cray 5 supercomputers that can model, you know, reality with algorithms and control everything? And can they act, do they actually have computers where they listen to everybody's conversation all at once all over the world, and they have computers that do teraflop calculations and can sort it all out, and, you know, they know everything and they're so smart? You know, they're just men. God says, you know, why put your trust in a man who is but a breath in his nostrils? If these people don't get one more breath, they die. And some of them, if they were standing before you, you could just punch them really hard and they would go to the ground. You know, so it, I get a little torqued up, but, you know, sometimes you just got to bring your thoughts back into subjection to reality and get control of it and realize that God is on the throne. Do you believe in God? I mean, these are questions I ask myself. I'm not getting on anybody out there, honestly, because these are questions that I ask myself. I'm like, you know, I talk to my own soul. Do you believe in God? You know, because if you believe in God, why are you worrying so much? You know, if you believe in God and you believe in Jesus Christ and you trust in the Lord with all your heart, you know, and I'm kind of preaching to myself again here, you know, then why would you worry? You know, sometimes I think this whole life is, like Paul said, he was running a race and he had finished the finished course. Like, this whole life for the believer is a course that's laid out. And these people that are doing these things are just placemats. They're like props that are there as hurdles to see if you can get past them. You know, because God's trying to teach us something. He's trying to refine faith in us so that we're ready for his kingdom. You know, I mean, God does say in the Old Testament, he said to Satan, about Satan, he said, I have created the blacksmith that fans the coals into flame. You know, he said, you know, obviously God even says in the scriptures that he created Lucifer. Do you not think that he knew what was going to happen? Because if you don't think that he didn't, if you think that he didn't know what was going to happen, is God not all-powerful? And this brings up some sticky issues of the sovereignty of God. You know, and how man's will fits into it. And where is our freedom of choice if God is all-powerful and he's in control of everything? I went through that. I went through that, and that's part of the reason why I fell away. Because I couldn't understand it. But I failed to realize one thing. Why would I throw my understanding of, why would I throw away my relationship with God because I didn't understand him? I mean, why would I do that? That would be like saying, you know, that I'm God. That I'm on the throne and I must understand you, God, before I believe in you. I think a lot of us just need to get back to understanding even what the word God means. that God is on the throne. He's all-powerful. He is the king. He is the ruler, the almighty God, the everlasting Father, the all-powerful one, omniscient, omnipotent. And that means that he is the king, and that we come in subjection under his authority, that he's not to be judged by us. And I know there's a lot of atheists out there that would immediately say, you know, that's where you go wrong. You know, because they're just rebellious. They don't want to think like that. You know, and they think man created the idea of God to control them. So they would say that's just the whole control mechanism that keeps you boxed in, is that you're not allowed to question God. All right. But see, everybody's got to base their life on something, and everybody's got to give an account for it in the end. You know, and I guess it boils down to, where do you put your trust, and what are you going to do? You know, in the end, your whole life's going to be laid open, laid bare under the light. Everybody will be able to scrutinize everything. And it's just, your whole life is a picture of what your heart is about, and what you mean, and how you feel. All your decisions could be analyzed, you know, and it's just an open, it's just a naked picture of your life, of where your heart is. And I've just, you know, ever since God got a hold of me and let me taste of his purity and holiness, I don't want anything else. You know, like, I feel so small and insignificant and unpure when God comes near me, because he's so holy. But I don't want to stay unpure. I long so much inside to be clean and to be pure for the Lord, because he's so holy and so awesome, and I know that, but I had this struggle in between, you know. Sometimes I think about being with the Lord, and it scares the pee-pee out of me. You know? Like, how could I ever stand before him? He's so holy, and you know, he created everything I'm looking at. It really, really freaks me out sometimes. Like, he created me, created the air, the mountains, the vastness of it, the whole universe. Like, I don't even know how to even put that into language to tell you how much I freak out on that sometimes. Like, I am going to stand before the great God who created all this. Like, I remember when I used to get nervous and I would go to a concert, you know, and I'd go back, you know, backstage or whatever when they were signing autographs, and I would get nervous talking to, like, you know, talking to like a musical star or something. But this is the God of the universe. There's absolutely no comparison whatsoever. You know, and I can't even imagine that. I can't fathom it. It scares me inside. Like, you know, people want to explain away the fear of the Lord, you know, when it says, you know, work your own salvation out with fear and trembling. And then they say, oh, that fear just means awe and reverence. Okay, but in my case, I'm scared. I don't know about you, but like, I shake when I get to thinking about it too much, and that's not drama, you know. I keep getting tempted to tell you guys about the experience that I had, and maybe I'll just make a show about my testimony if anybody cares. But you know, God literally shined a light down on me. I mean, literally. And when his presence came near me, it was the most frightening, most overwhelming feeling I ever felt in my entire life. And maybe it was because I was just into repentance and I was just coming out of such a sinful lifestyle. When he came near me, he's so holy and I was so sinful. But I literally felt like Daniel. When Daniel, you know, had that vision and he said all his strength left his body and he was deathly pale. That's exactly how I felt. And it has stuck with me, and I realize the power of the living God. And that will never leave me. I personally believe that God sealed me that night. Like, you know, wax is melted on a real seal on a scroll. You know, you take that hot signet ring and you press it into that wax and it makes an imprint. You know? Like, his presence that came into my room that night on September 27, 2001, it left an indelible print on me, imprint, that I'll never forget. And I fear the Lord. And that's what drives me to get on this podcast and talk about the Lord and to warn people. And that's what drives me when I go to work to talk to, you know, my buddies at work, even though they, you know, sometimes I get, you know, I get mocked. You know, oh, that's, you know, that's Amos. He's, you know, that's just the way he is. You know, he's always talking about the Lord. In fact, I think I'm just a droning voice in the background now because I've witnessed to him so much. But, you know, it's not that I'm super powerful. It's the Holy Spirit. And I think that's what Christ talked about in Acts 1:8. He's like, you know, he's like, I'm going to go away and you wait in that upper room for power. You shall receive power and then you'll be my witnesses. And that power is the Holy Spirit. It compels us to do things. It's not because we're so great. It's almost like you've got a fire under your rear end. And it's like it creates a feeling in you where you feel compelled to just witness and preach. I mean, that's the way it is with me anyway. But I want to, I really, from my heart, I want to explain the things that I've learned to you guys. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to be the best podcaster in the world. I have no formal broadcast training. I got a really crappy microphone. I'm sitting here and I can't get the noise out of my Audacity program. I don't know what it is. I'm hoping that, you know, if I upgrade to another mic, it'll go away. But I'm not sure. There's a little hiss and it sounds like there's a little digital scratchiness in the background. Because, you know, I'll download my own podcast and then listen to it. And I get really annoyed with the sound quality. But you know what? It's the message that's most important. So, I just really want to let people know what's going on. And my thoughts are all over the place, and I'm just rambling on and on, off in all kinds of directions. If this was a flow chart on my thoughts here, it would be all over the place. But that's kind of how I am sometimes. So, just, I'd ask you to forgive me, but, I think one point I would like to make to you guys is I literally think they left this conspiracy stuff out in the open. I mean, there's some stuff with 9/11. You know, you look at the way the buildings fell. I remember on that day, and I wasn't ever interested in conspiracies or anything, but I remember watching those two buildings fall. And I remember thinking to myself, that looks like a controlled demolition. Nobody had to ask me or anything, and you know what? I voted for the elder Bush. If I hadn't have been so messed up in my life during a time and so oblivious to politics, I probably would have voted for George W. You know? So I'm just sitting there. I'm like, something's wrong with this. Something's going wrong. So I would, you know. And I remember I got saved right after 9/11. It was what? 16 days after 9/11 is when God dramatically saved me. I had been in a period of repentance for like 10 days after saying that prayer out in that field that day, just screaming out to God to save me. It took 10 days. God answered me in a powerful way. But, you know, I remember seeing that first State of the Union address when Bush was announcing, you know, that they were kind of teaming up with Tony Blair in the UK and announced Homeland Security, and I remember the overwhelming feeling of dread that came over me. I didn't even understand why. I look back now, and it was the Holy Spirit letting me know that prophecy was being fulfilled and that something bad was happening. And I can't even explain how God was opening my eyes to things. I mean, after I received the Holy Spirit, there was a period of like 3 or 4 months where I was literally like a newborn. Everything that I just took for granted in the world, it was like God just cut all the sensitivity away from my heart, and I couldn't handle anything. You know, the world was just overwhelming to me for like 3 or 4 months, and I don't know if anybody out there within the reach of my voice has ever experienced that. I don't know if that's the norm when somebody becomes a Christian or if it was something unique in my situation. But I remember going into the grocery store and just looking at the way the grocery store is set up and all the signs and the manipulation, the little snares and traps to try to get people to buy things. I mean, yeah, we need food, you know, but it was just all this manipulation. Like, I started seeing the psychology behind things. You know, I'd never done that before. It was like God was just pointing things out to me, how man is deceitful. You know, and it was showing up in everything. I saw the seduction in music. I was hearing the lyrics and songs in a way like it was I heard it for the first time. It literally felt like I was born in the 1800s and I came, like, somehow got transported into this world and everything was overwhelmingly sinful. It was crazy. But I remember thinking, when I saw those towers fall, this is a world-changing event. And after all the research that I've done, watching 9/11 ripple effect, you know, being online and just talking with the 9/11 truthers and everything, I've come to the conclusion that these conspiracies are out there. They were left out in the open for a reason, like a breadcrumb trail. It's time for Satan to break things up, to destroy and to disillusion. And the way he's going to do that is, I feel like all along as this country's been being built, it's like all the lies. If you picture the lies as like water, okay? And it's all, there's a dam there, walls, levees, holding the water of lies back, keeping it hidden because it's occultic. And occult means hidden. And they've been presenting one American dream type reality to people on the surface when the cameras are on them. Oh, God bless America, Ronald Reagan, and yes, and Christmas time, and go out and buy, you know, and give presents to your kids and have your house and your white picket fence and go to college and God bless America, and, you know, and everything's great. But behind the scenes, there was all this occultic stuff going on. You know, there was even conspiracy involved with JFK. You know, we're wondering now if they actually, you know, when Pearl Harbor was attacked, they knew about it and they just allowed them to do it as a pretext to go into World War II. We're looking at the Nazis and how the Nazis are tied in with the Skull and Bones. All this stuff's been going on behind the scenes, but it was hidden to the average person who wasn't digging for it. And now all this stuff is flooding out, and it reminds me in the Bible where it says the dragon opened his mouth and water spewed from the dragon's mouth. And it was like a torrent, and he was trying to wash the woman away. And it reminds me of all these lies. You know, like they're letting the walls down and letting all this stuff come out to just overwhelm everybody. So that everybody would be like, daggone, you know, like I thought the world was one way, and it's almost like you come to the realization, you're like, wow, I can be deceived. You know, I don't know how many people want to admit this, but I think people might say to themselves, you know, I'm pretty smart, man. You can't get nothing by me. I'm one smart cookie. And then all this stuff's coming out, and people are realizing, I can be deceived. And then you don't trust yourself. And then all this stuff comes out, and then you're like thinking there's a conspiracy behind everything. And wouldn't that be Satan's game? To break your trust down? To just have so many things you thought were one way? To just have tricked you all that time, and then to tell you that you've been tricked? And then to just totally crush your trust so you're totally disillusioned? To the point where you would even start thinking that the Bible was a conspiracy through men? That Christ is a conspiracy? And then to bring out all this mythology and line it up with Christ and say it's all the same. It's just another long line of myths and conspiracies. Oh, Christ lines up with Mithra and Isis and Horus and you know, and all this stuff. Man, you could just go on and on and on, but you're just it's just pollution. It's pollution. Satan comes in and he pollutes what's holy so that it smells and you don't want to go near it anymore. In a nutshell, that's what it is. And it's really annoying to watch the enemy do this over and over and over again and know how it's going to affect people. And that's why I've got this podcast, and you know, I just don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. I don't know if I have mastery over the English language or if I'm even a decent enough speaker to communicate the thoughts that I have mulling around in my spirit and get them out clearly enough where people can actually say, I get where this guy's coming from. I can sense where he's coming from. You know? I'm such a perfectionist. I'm sitting here wondering, you know, I'm 26 minutes and 41 seconds into this. And I'm so tempted to go back and try to edit it and start over because I don't know how cohesive my thoughts are. I tend to just ramble and go off in different directions. But one thing I want you guys to get is you've got to let no man deceive you in any way. We have got to put our faith in the Scripture and stay there. This is a day where the wind is blowing around crazy-like. And you're going to wonder what's true and what's not true. And you better pick something. The wind is going to blow so hard, you better pick something to hold on to, or you're going to get blown away. And then when we go in the Scripture, God says a judgment day is exactly that. It says they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. And I will blow them away like chaff on a threshing floor. They'll be like smoke vanishing through a window. How is that going to happen? Was he literally going to blow on us and blow us away? No, he's talking about our beliefs and our faith, that we're going to get washed away with the lies. I think that Satan's going to show up. He's the one that caused all these problems. He's the one that you know, gave men the secrets of how to oppress us. You know, raise the taxes. Make the taxes here. Use the Federal Reserve System to just print money and then you can control it through inflation. You know, play all these countries against each other with war. I mean, Satan's the one that caused all the oppression. He's the one that gave man the secrets in conjunction with man's own sinful nature. You know, he certainly knows how to withdraw it. What if Satan comes back? What if all this time is just Satan setting it up, making it look like it's biblical prophecy, so that we think the tribulation is over after the chaos, and since everybody's looking for a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, which I'm going to do a podcast on, and I don't believe that the 1,000 years is a literal reign of Christ after the tribulation. I believe the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ was the gospel going out, the time period from when the apostles received the Holy Spirit to maybe 9/11. And I know a lot of people are going to go, whoa, 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 that's crazy. Well, just hang tight with me. Stay subscribed. I'm going to do a podcast on this, and I'm going to at least present my case for that. But what if the deception is coming is that Satan shows up in a man, or whether it's aliens coming down, some superior being coming down, in some way, making us think that it's a God or it's Christ, and that this new golden age is dawning, and he removes all the restraints. You know, he puts the money system back on a stable system of gold. He unifies mankind after all the destruction. They have all this technology, and they've already healed, found like cures for diseases, and they release all that, and they're like, oh, you can be healthy, and look, we're going to prosper in this new monetary system, and you know, this isn't the mark of the beast. I'm Christ, and I'm putting the mark on your forehead, the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, just like Christ says he does. What if this is some super crazy deception that's coming that people aren't even looking for? They're going to be like, oh, this is Christ come back to set up his 1,000-year millennial reign. Isn't this great? And it's going to be the false Christ. The anti-Messiah, the Antichrist. Anti doesn't mean opposite, it means in place of, instead of. You know, the Bible talks about, I saw the false prophet, he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Why? Because everything from Satan is going to seem spiritual, and it's going to seem good, but it's going to be geared towards saving your life in the flesh. It's always geared towards your flesh. And isn't that what man does? Isn't that why man does everything he does in this world and puts up with everything? Because he wants to save his own skin. He wants to survive. That's why people will take the mark. That's why people are caving in and giving up their freedoms in this country, because they want to save their own skin. They want to survive. That's man's thing. He wants to live. Yet Jesus told us, he that wants to save his life will lose it. But he that is willing to lose his life for my sake will find it. Isn't it also in Revelation where it says, and they love not their life so as to shrink from death? This is the deception that I think is coming. And people are going to fall into it. I don't know how to explain it with Scripture. I don't know how to perfectly explain it with Scripture. And if I sat down with somebody from one of these theological seminaries, they'd probably ask me to lay out a whole program, and I can't. But what I'm sensing in the Holy Spirit is that what we're going through right now is man-made tribulation. It's Satan's wrath. And then he's going to pull the old switcheroony at the end. He's going to create the chaos and make it look like it was the tribulation. And then he's going to show up, and we're going to think it's the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. That's where I think this is going. And if it is, a lot of people are going to fall into it, because you got all kinds of people right now saying, you know, the tribulation is going to start in 2008. And, you know, some, it's probably 3.5 years from 2008 to 2012. Well, they're talking about the end of the Mayan calendar in 2012. All these New Agers are talking about, you know, a change in consciousness. And that sounds, to me, all about the New Age. You know, oh, we're going to be ascended masters. We'll ascend in our consciousness. We'll be transformed and enlightened. Do you get what I'm saying here? It's crazy. And I just want to warn as many people as I possibly can. There is a deception coming. And we have got to get in the Word of God and be so familiar with our God that we know the difference when the fake comes. If I've said it once, I'll say it again, and I'll probably say it more times. It's like a banker, a person who works in a bank. They deal with money all day long, to where they don't even have to look at it. When they get a counterfeit dollar, they can do it by feel. They know it's a counterfeit. We need to be so knowledgeable of our own God that we know the counterfeit immediately when it comes. And we have got to be willing to lay down our lives for our God. If somebody comes at us and says, you know, you need to accept this, and you need to accept this, and you need to make this compromise, that we say, no, I'm not going to hurt anybody, but I am not giving in to this. I stand on my faith. I'm worried about it myself. I don't know how much courage I have. I literally think what God did that night in my bedroom by me sensing that fear, I fear God more than man. I think that's what's literally going to save my butt in the end. Is that, you know, I fear the Lord more than I fear man. Like, I'm going to be more scared of facing the Lord after betraying him and denouncing him than I would just by dying. I can't do it. I can't. I'm more scared of the Lord than I'm scared of man. And I think God did that on purpose. I think that's why he did what he did, to protect me. I think fear is a preservation tool of the Lord. So, it's crazy. And, you know, I go back in and I read a lot of scriptures, and I just see what's going on right now. Let me look here at a couple of these notes. See, I got into the whole Alex Jones thing. I was a member of Prison Planet, because that's the first place I went. I started listening to Coast AM, which a lot of you guys probably do. You know, I don't know who my target audience is here. I'm just kind of putting it out there. You know, I know there are Churchianity Christians out there who'll say this guy's crazy. He uses secular music in his podcasts, and, you know, he gets into conspiracies, and so I might push them away. And then I have some people who are probably into conspiracy, and they're like, this guy talks too much about the Bible, and he's too Christian. Well, I can't satisfy everybody. You know, I've just got to preach what's in my heart and let it fly, and that's what I do. But I, like I said, I got into this Alex Jones thing because that was the first place I went to. I heard him on Coast to Coast AM one night, and I was like, wow, this guy's like talking about all the stuff that I'm just finding out about. So that was where I went. I got led into that. I joined Prison Planet. Man, I watched all the movies. I downloaded all kinds of audio things on CD, and I would listen to them because I drive for a living. And I just got into such darkness listening to all that. Yeah, I got all this knowledge inside. I can go toe-to-toe with anybody about what's going on in the New World Order. You know, but it just didn't do any good for me. All it did was put me in fear. And it made me realize that literally what I was doing was I was ascribing power to the beast by being afraid. I was literally being like one of those people in Revelation says, who is like the beast? Who can make war with the beast? And the world was amazed and followed after the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who can make war with the beast? Well, I'm not going to do that. God can make war with the beast. It's just going to come to the point where God decides to act. It's not that God can't crush this system, and he can save his people in the system. Satan is not going to use his people like human shields. Although he thinks he's going to do that, he's like, I got your people captive in my country. If you decide to bring judgment on a city, your people are going to die. That's not protecting Satan. God knows how to protect his own. God got all the Israelites out of Egypt and took them through the Red Sea. God knows how to save his people. And if you don't believe that, then you don't, you know, what are you a Christian for? Do you not think God loves you? And even if he does allow you to die, he's got your DNA in a safety deposit box in his own infinite mind. He could bring you right back. We've got to trust the Lord. And I'm not hollering at you guys, man. I just get passionate. I hope you guys know that. I get way out there sometimes, you know. But it's this conspiracy stuff, man. It's like a two-edged sword, really. It's like you want to watch, you want to be a watchman, and you want to listen to the Lord. You know, let no man deceive us by any means, Lord. I'm out there, I'm watching, I'm being a good watchman, I'm studying the enemy's tactics. But at the same time, Satan's polluting you with all the occult information. So I really don't know what to do. I'm not blaming any of the podcasters out there that are doing all this deep rabbit hole conspiracy stuff. But at the same time, I just don't feel comfortable getting that deep into it. Because I don't think it's beneficial. I want to mention it. I want to give you a little bit of it to expose you to it so that you understand what's coming. But at the same time, I want to contrast it with Scripture. And I can't, you know, some people get on here and they're like, you know, I'm sorry if I'm talking about the Lord. And I know, you know, you guys can just, you atheists, that's cool if you want to be atheist. I don't think it's cool. I believe in God, and I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe that their plan is right, and that what God told us is right, and that we need to be redeemed and reconciled to God the Father who created the earth through his Son. And I can't make any apologies for that. You know, but this conspiracy stuff is dark. I did the whole Prison Planet thing, Alex Jones, and man, I just had a lot of questions. You know, like, how did he get into Bohemian Grove and get out? And it was all cut and dried like that, you know? Like, you know, why is he so bold and not afraid? Is he really that courageous or, you know? I think they're letting this stuff come out, man, because they just want to disillusion everybody. They're leading people in. And the best way to lead people in is to make them think they're getting something they're not supposed to be getting. It's a fundamental thing with humans. You know, stolen bread eaten in secret is delicious. You know? Did you get that? See where I'm coming from? You feeling my vibe there? So they know they're going to let it out, make people think they're finding out all this juicy information, you know? And really, they're just leading you right into the rabbit hole. Because when you get in there, you're going to slip and you're going to fall, and you're going to fall all the way down to the bottom, and you're not going to find your way out. And this stuff is addictive. It really is. It gets to be addictive. pretty soon you're like, you're not satisfied listening to the Bible anymore. You got to have all this crazy stuff all the time. You know, I know, I've been there. And that's why I don't want to get into it. I'm going to read a verse to you guys, and maybe it'll hit somebody out there. And maybe you'll it'll do for you what it did for me. When this got into my spirit and I really thought about this, I was like, God put this verse in the Bible for people like me for a time like this. It's Isaiah 8, verse 11. And on, I'm going to read a few of the verses. It says, "The Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. He said, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it." Man, if you just take that verse alone, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. And when I think about that, I think the Lord said that because there is a plan to disillusion you. Not everything is a conspiracy. They want you paranoid about everything. And I'm balancing that because there are freaky things going on. But you're not going to be able to find out which ones are real and which ones aren't. You're going to get lost in that matrix of deception. And he says, do not fear what they fear. Now, how many people out there are fearing the New World Order? And like, oh my God, there's going to be the microchip. And what am I going to do? And they got all this technology and blue beam. And they can shoot like thoughts into my head. Oh, what am I going to do? And do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. And he will be a sanctuary. That's a place of rest and protection. A place where you're set apart. And he will be a sanctuary. But for both houses of Israel, he will be a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Why? Because they're pursuing righteousness as if it were by works, not by faith. They don't want to humble themselves and come to the cross and accept righteousness God's way through faith. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble, they will fall and be broken, and they will be snared and captured. How are they captured? They're captured through their guilt. Because when they're guilty, they'll do anything to avoid that guilt, and that's where Satan comes in. Bind up the testimony and seal up the law among my disciples. That sounds like the Holy Spirit sealing us. I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. Oh, is that just for the house of Jacob? Is it possible that he's hiding his face from America, from Russia, from Saudi Arabia, from wherever? I will put my trust in him. Snared and captured. I wondered about that. Snared and captured. Let's look at something else. Isaiah 24:16. From the ends of the earth we hear singing, glory to the righteous one. But I said, I waste away, I waste away. Woe to me. Woe is the strongest word you can use in the Bible. It means terror. The treacherous betray. Sound familiar? With treachery, the treacherous betray. Terror and pit and snare await you, O people of the earth. This is where we're at, guys. This is the language for this day. This isn't just ancient Israel. This is the language for today. I waste away, I waste away. Woe to me, the treacherous betray. With treachery, the treacherous betray. Terror and pit and snare await you, O people of the earth. Whoever flees at the sound of terror will fall into a pit. Whoever climbs out of the pit will be caught in a snare. There's no escape. It's just a never-ending matrix of a trap. You can't escape it. The floodgates of the heavens are opened. The foundations of the earth shake. The earth is broken up. The earth is split asunder. The earth is thoroughly shaken. The earth reels like a drunkard. It sways like a hut in the wind. So heavy upon it is the guilt of its rebellion that it never falls. That it falls, never to rise again. In that day, the Lord will punish the powers in the heavens above. And those are those spiritual wickedness in high places that Paul said, for our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's not really with other men. It's with spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities and powers. In that day, the Lord will punish the powers in the heavens above and the kings on the earth below. They will be herded together like prisoners bound in a dungeon. They will be shut up in prison and be punished after many days. The moon will be abashed and the sun ashamed, for the Lord Almighty will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before its elders gloriously. Do you see what the Lord says? He says he's going to take care of business when it's time. It doesn't matter what kind of technology they have, because the Lord, if he forgets them, they never existed, because he's God and they're not. Here's another great chapter. And God's word is good for the soul, and reading it just opens our eyes to the truth. And when that happens, we can start seeing the deception that is going on in the world. Let's read the whole thing, because it would be really, really good for us, okay? This is Jeremiah 5. I want to read the whole thing, because this is a great chapter. Go up and down the streets of Jerusalem. Think about this, guys. Think, listen, and think about our country. Think about where you live. Don't just think ancient Israel and Jerusalem. Think about connecting this to where you're at and today. Hear through the language the message for now. Go up and down the streets of Jerusalem. Look around and consider. Search through her squares. If you could find but one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth, I will forgive this city. Although they say, as surely as the Lord lives, still, they're swearing falsely. O Lord, do not your eyes look for the truth? You struck them, but they felt no pain. You crushed them, but they refused correction. They made their faces harder than stone and refused to repent. I thought, these are only the poor. They're foolish. They don't know the way of the Lord, the requirements of their God. So I'll go to the leaders and speak to them. Surely they know the way of the Lord, the requirements of their God. But with one accord, they too had broken off the yoke and torn off the bonds. Therefore, a lion from the forest will attack them. A wolf from the desert will ravage them. A leopard will lie in wait near their towns to tear to pieces any who venture out. For their rebellion is great, and their backslidings are many. Why should I forgive you? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by gods that are not gods. I supplied all their needs, yet they committed adultery and thronged to the houses of prostitutes. They are well-fed, lusty stallions, each neighing for another man's wife. Should I not punish them for this? Declares the Lord. Should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Go through her vineyards and ravage them, but do not destroy them completely. Strip off her branches, for these people do not belong to the Lord. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have been utterly unfaithful to me, declares the Lord. They have lied about the Lord. They said, he will do nothing. No harm will come to us. We will never see sword or famine. The prophets are but wind, and the word is not in them. So let what they say be done to them. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty says. This isn't prophesying. This is the scripture. This is what he says. Because the people have spoken these words, I will make my words in your mouth a fire, and these people the wood that it consumes. Remember the picture of the two witnesses in Revelation 11? It said, this is how anyone who harms them must die. Fire will come from their mouths and devour their enemies. This is what they're talking about. I'm saying this to you, Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins, who wrote Left Behind and take the Word of God so literal that you make a mockery out of it. You can't even understand spiritual things. Because the people have spoken these words, I will make my words in your mouth a fire, and these people the wood it consumes. That's what the two witnesses do. They speak the word of God with power and with authority, and it consumes the people like wood because it judges them. If they don't repent, they've heard the truth, and the word of God judges them. O house of Israel, declares the Lord, I am bringing a distant nation against you. Sound familiar? An ancient and enduring nation, a people whose language you do not know, whose speech you do not understand. Their quivers are like an open grave. All of them are mighty warriors. They will devour your harvests and food and devour your sons and daughters. They will devour your flocks and herds, devour your vines and fig trees. They're going to own everything. They're going to take it all over. With the sword, they will destroy the fortified cities in which you trust. Yet even in those days, declares the Lord, I will not destroy you completely. And when the people ask, why has the Lord our God done all this to us? You will tell them, as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your own land, so now you will serve foreigners in a land not your own. And that's why I did Waking Up in Captivity, that podcast. Because this is what happens every single time. When you get away from the Lord, you push him out of your life. He owns the world, people. You can sit there and deny it. And you could deny it with 100% faith that you don't believe in God, but God knows about you. He created you. He is giving you the breath right now to even say those words. And he is merciful. You go into captivity when you ignore God. And when the people ask, why has the Lord our God done all this to us? You'll tell them, as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your own land, so now you'll serve foreigners in a land not your own. And you won't even have to move. Because that land that you were in will not be your own anymore because it'll be bought. Foreigners will own it. That's why they're selling all this stuff off to China, because the country's bankrupt. Because our money's becoming worthless. Because it was never based on anything. It was a fiat currency. It was by decree of government, the worth. Jeremiah 5:20, announce this to the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah. Hear this, you foolish and senseless people who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble in my presence? I made the sand a boundary for the sea, an everlasting barrier that it cannot cross. The waves may roll, but they cannot prevail. They may roar, but they cannot cross it. But these people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They have turned aside and gone away. They don't say to themselves, let us fear the Lord our God, who gives autumn and spring rains in season, who assures us of the regular weeks of harvest. Your wrongdoings have kept these away. Your sins have deprived you of good. Among my people are wicked men who lie in wait like men who snare birds, and like those who set traps to catch men. Like cages full of birds, their houses are full of deceit. They become rich and powerful and have grown fat and sleek. Their evil deeds have no limit. They do not plead the case of the fatherless to win it. They don't defend the rights of the poor. Should I not punish them for this, declares the Lord? Should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? A horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority. And my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end? Here's another great chapter. I love this chapter because it really seems to be speaking to us in this day. Again, if you just listen as I read this chapter and think about our country, We do the same things. So again, what God has to say here is very, very pertinent to us today. I'm going to read this and I'm going to wrap it up. Because I am just a blowhard windbag. It seems like I can't ever get this thing under an hour. Hosea chapter 8. Put the trumpet to your lips. Warn people. That's always a warning when you're blowing the trumpet or the shofar, the ram's horn. Put the trumpet to your lips. An eagle is over the house of the Lord. What is our national symbol? Because the people have broken my covenant and rebelled against my law. That's why the eagle's over your house. That's why it's taking control of you. That's why it's taking you to its nest to take you into captivity. Because you broke my covenant and rebelled against my laws. Israel cries out to me, "Oh, our God, we acknowledge you." But Israel has rejected what is good. An enemy will pursue him. They set up kings without my consent. They choose princes without my approval. With their silver and their gold, they make idols for themselves to their own destruction. Throw out your calf idol, O Sam area, Uncle Sam's area. That calf idol that represents the money system. That bull market. Throw out your calf idol, O Sam area. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of purity? They are from Israel. This calf, a craftsman has made it. It's not God. It'll be broken in pieces, that calf of Samaria. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no head. It will produce no flower. In other words, they're not bearing any fruit. Nothing they do is going to come to fruition. Were it to yield grain, foreigners would swallow it up. If you did anything good, foreigners would just come in and buy it all up. Israel is swallowed up. Now she is among the nations like a worthless thing. And isn't America being mocked and made fun of as a worthless thing now? We are getting there. For they have gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey wandering alone. Ephraim has sold herself to lovers. Although they have sold themselves among the nations, I will now gather them together. They will begin to waste away under the oppression of the mighty king. I don't know about you guys. And like I said, I get real passionate, but that scares me. Like, I don't want to face that. They will begin to waste away under the oppression of the mighty king. Just listen to that language. That's not fun stuff. Wasting away under oppression. And when God decrees it, it's going to happen. And he's not going to turn it back. I'm telling you, if we don't repent in this country, we are going into captivity. It may already be done. Though Ephraim built many altars for sin offerings, these have become altars for sinning. We have many churches, but now they're just a place to go in and feel good, to make us feel like it's okay to sin because we went to church and we can live our lives the rest of the week another way. I wrote for them the many things of my law, but they regarded them as something alien. They offer sacrifices given to me, and they eat the meat. But the Lord is not pleased with them. Now he will remember their wickedness and punish their sins. They will return to Egypt, which is slavery. Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces. Judah has fortified many towns, but I will send fire upon their cities that will consume their fortresses. And there's another place in the Bible, I don't have the reference for the verse right offhand, but it says, wickedness burns like a fire. Wickedness consumes. So all he's got to do is leave these cities over, give them over to their own wickedness, and they'll consume themselves. I guess that's why we're called consumers. This is, I could just go on and on. I'm going to read this next little section. I'm going to wrap it up. This is Hosea 9:7. My last chapter was Hosea 8. I really like the book of Hosea. It's a good book for prophecy. Hosea 9:7, the days of punishment are coming. The days of reckoning are at hand. Let Israel know this. Because your sins are so many and your hostility towards God and the people that he sends to you, because your sins are so many and your hostility so great, the prophet is considered a fool. the inspired man who's inspired by God, passionate, is considered a maniac. The prophet, along with my God, is the watchman over Ephraim. Yet snares await him on all his paths, and hostility in the house of his God. It shouldn't be that way. Somebody who's a prophet with God and is watching over the city should not have to face all kinds of snares and traps on all of his paths. He shouldn't have to face hostility in the house of his own God. They have sunk deep into corruption, as in the days of Gibeah. God will remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. I can feel the fire dying down here now. I'm gonna cut this short here. Because if I don't, I'll just keep going and going. That's my tendency. But I appreciate you guys listening. I hope you don't take this the wrong way. Sometimes when I get worked up, it's like, you know, it's just like a fire shot up in my bones. You know, it's harder to keep it in than to let it out. And I appreciate you guys listening, but I hope it motivates you guys. I really do, because this is serious. Like, our country is turning away from the Lord, and we are getting ready to incur the wrath of the Lord. People forget that. We have a gracious God and a loving Savior, and He stands there all day long with His arms outstretched to a stubborn and rebellious nation. He is loving, but we have to repent. We have to repent because we need to know what is actually good and do it. Instead of just sitting there saying, why is God always telling us to not do this and not do that? Well, maybe if you loved Him and you sat under His counsel and you had your heart molded into a heart like His, you would love the things of the Lord. That's the problem, is that our hearts are hardened and they're not in line with God. Therefore, we think He's, you know, always on us, on our case all the time. But just look around. Look at the way people are living their lives. It's destroying them. There's selfishness. There's greed. There's suffering. This way doesn't work. You know, and somebody's got to be the one to come out here and say, turn around. Turn around. You know, don't do this anymore. Go in the opposite direction. And I don't know why I'm that person, because I'm nothing, you know. I crashed and burned my life, smoked it up right into the ground. But God put His Spirit in me and is compelling me to preach. I have no choice but to be obedient. It's not because I'm anything. I guess, you know, truth is truth, even if it comes out of a donkey's mouth. But I hope this motivated you. I hope you got some nuggets of wisdom out of this. I hope I enlightened you guys to what's going on with the conspiracies and maybe why they're allowing this to happen. I hope you can see that God is disturbed what's going on with this nation, and I hope and pray to God that the Holy Spirit would come upon each and every one of you guys. And that God would open the eyes of your understanding. And to just give you faith. Give you wisdom and discernment. And for those of you that don't know the Lord that are out there, that He would do a supernatural work in your life. That the Holy Spirit would do that work in your heart that you need to come back to life, to be resurrected in your spirit, so that you can wake up. Wake up, O sleeper, and the light of Christ will shine on you. To wake up to reality of where we're at and what our lives are like in the sight of God's light, what they really look like and what we're really doing. I pray that the Holy Spirit is just powerful, and that He would really, really touch each and every one of you. And as each one of you draws close to God, I pray that He would draw near to you. And that He would protect you and seal you in this time. Like Noah and his family were sealed in the ark. That you might float on the top of all this deception and these storms. And that you might be safe in the ark, the spiritual ark, which is Christ. I don't know who you guys are, who's listening out there, but I love you for listening. I appreciate it. And I really, really hate to beg, but I wish you guys would shoot me an email. Let me know you're listening. It would be a great encouragement to me. You can email me at truthstream, T-R-U-T-H-S-T-R-E-A-M, truthstream, at Podomatic, P-O-D-O-M-A-T-I-C.com, truthstream at Podomatic.com. You can visit my podcast site at truthstream.podomatic.com. And everything you need to contact me or make any comments on each one of these episodes is right there on the page. If you check on the right side there, I even have a listener comment line you can call in. The number is 206-350-0054. 206-350-0054. You could drop me a line. It's even a fax. Got it all set up for you guys. There's even a link to the Shofar Call, which is a discussion forum, and you can make comments to the podcast and start a discussion there if you want to. Let's talk about this. Let's fellowship. You know, I'll be praying for you guys, and I pray that God would give each and every one of you grace and peace in the name of our Lord and precious Savior, Yeshua the Christ, the Son of the living God. Until next time, everybody, I'm Amos Ridley. Peace out.